You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. It's always a treat when Hobie Wedler visits, and today he's doing a bit of celebrating. Hobie, whose birth name is Henry, has received the Advocates in Disability Award from the National HSC Foundation, which includes a nice pot of money which he can put toward his most special project, a chemistry camp for blind students. I've already made him smile. Hello.
Hi, Beth. How
Hi,
are
Hobie.
You?
Nice to have you here. Welcome back to Insight.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's always an honor.
This is the second time I'm speaking to you about an award, and I think it's your efforts with these students that's being recognized in so many arenas.
Well, you know, I just love working with students and inspiring students in any way that I can to be all they can be and do everything they can. And the students that we work with are blind and low vision students with disability, you know, who are inspired by science, technology, engineering, and mathematics to study what they want to study, but maybe they haven't been encouraged to study things that are seemingly visual, like chemistry or other sciences.
Tell me about the summer's camp, which I guess will be in Napa. When does it start?
Yeah, so the camp that we do is actually the springtime chemistry camp, and unfortunately we just had our last one at the end of April. The camp tends to be the last weekend of April up at Enchanted Hills Camp.
Nice.
In Napa, California.
Well, how many students? I remember that they were coming from all over the country, because once they hear about something like this, they travel, Hobie, because it's not offered very many places.
It's not offered very many places, and that's sort of what inspired me to start the camp, is that it's important to me that students are driven to understand their potential and understand their true abilities. So we usually market it around the country. Last year, that's what we did. And this year, we decided to make it a little bit more of a local program. So we offered it to students in the Bay Area and throughout California. So we had 11 students this year, 9 from Northern California, a lot from right around here, possibly listening today, and a couple from Southern California. And I'll just tell you what the HSC Foundation has done for me, if you don't mind.
Oh, please do.
So they're, first of all, a foundation helping newly disabled veterans and youth with disabilities throughout the country. They're based in Washington, D.C., and I had the pleasure of going back to their headquarters, their National Youth Transition Center in D.C. at the beginning of this month. And really, you know, what the award that they're giving me does for me is it provides us with funding to purchase supplies for the chemistry camp. So we won't have to keep going back for more supplies, and borrowing from UC Davis as we have been for the past couple of years. But really what it includes is a mentoring opportunity as well as the money for supplies that are necessary. As a recipient of the ADA Award, the Advocates with Disabilities Award, I will be mentored by their staff. So I think the money is a very valuable part of the award, but really the mentoring and how to report back to grant offering agencies and the teaching that comes with it is a huge thing for me. I'm always so excited to find teachers around that are such excellent mentors.
Some people are just hearing your voice and hearing you talk about your life for the first time. So I'm realizing this is the first point in this discussion, Hobie, that I'm telling some people that you are blind.
Yes.
Because we're talking to you more about a camp founder and a person who cares about sharing what you know and love, your passion for organic chemistry. I think this is the first time I can officially introduce you as a PhD candidate, too.
Well, I guess.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I just passed the qualifying exam, which is a milestone in every PhD student's career, because it advances one from graduate student to PhD candidate. So I can tell you I feel a lot lighter after taking that exam.
You're spending a lot of time at the computer because the kind of chemistry that you do is computational. And I'm looking at you with a little brace on your finger, which isn't making it easy.
No, it's not necessarily easy because I just accidentally fractured the finger. But, you know, we do what we can. I do all my chemistry on the computer. And like you say, it is computational chemistry. So all of my chemistry is done through typing on the computer keyboard. And I feel so grateful to be working with Professor Dean Tantillo at the University of California, Davis, to study chemistry that I'm sincerely passionate about and do what I truly love, which is think about molecules in my mind rather than, you know, work in a, you know, experimental or wet laboratory to make molecules, which is what a lot of my colleagues do. Also extremely necessary and extremely impressive, but as a blind person, it's a lot easier to work on the computer.
You've described how you use visualization in chemistry, but you use a different sense or a couple different senses in your other passion, which is wine. And you studied vitiology at UC Davis, too.
Yeah, viticulture and enology. I've taken some courses in that. And I really love understanding food and wine, how they pair together. And I've always loved education. You know, my dream is to be an educator. And whether it's being a chemical educator or a wine educator, it's fun.
So tell me about the event that you do, Tasting in the Dark. I jumped on the website.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Geyserville, California. And I did see that it sells out, so I know you have a following.
Yeah, no, I feel so lucky to work with the whole team up at Francis Coppola Winery in Geyserville. I was actually asked by their team to come up there a little more than 2 years ago now and host wine tastings inspired by a tasting that Francis himself attended in Asia. It was more of a food tasting. He wanted to have a program at his winery offered where participants could come in, designed by a blind person to promote, you know, blindness ideals and blind positive living, you know, positivity as a blind person. So he asked me to host this program. Basically what we do is we blindfold people down in the foyer of the winery, walk them up a large set of stairs and down a long walkway. And I won't give all the secrets away because I'd love for anyone to come give it a try. But we take people into the tasting room and basically sit around and talk and smell some awesome aromas and drink wine for 2 hours.
I've had wine experts, including Rick Cushman, of course, explain to me that you first look at a glass of wine, you observe the color,
right,
and then you smell the bouquet, and then you taste.
Correct.
So when you experience wine, you bypass the visual. And which is amplified more, do you think, the smell, the taste, or both?
So it's one of the fun things about this wine tasting. We've had a lot of well-renowned wine professionals and wine critics in our tasting. And it's quite surprising when you do a fully blind tasting, which is something that hasn't been done very commonly before, where you blindfold a person and then let them experience wine without looking at it. It's amazing the things that people pick up that are different or don't pick up when they can't see the color. I think the thing that pops out at me the most is the smell. Sometimes when I pick up a glass of delicious Coppola wine, I sniff it and it just brings out the area where the fruit was grown. For instance, I'm working with Coppola's sales team a lot, doing these tastings around the country. And we were just doing one yesterday for Beverages and More. And I was working with the head winemaker and general manager up at the winery, Mr. Corey Beck. We were smelling the Diamond Sauvignon Blanc, which is one of the winery's, I think, one of their best wines and one of their most delicious summertime wines. And when you smell it, you get all the components of Sonoma County and Lake County combining because it's a blend of those two Sauvignon Blanc grapes grown in both of those regions. And it's just amazing and almost flabbergasting any time to me when I smell that delicious wine.
Do you know the sparkling wine, the Sophia?
I do, yeah.
So this is funny. The first time I ever tried it, I was in a place where I was given a little can. It comes in this little four-pack of cans, and it's pink, marketed,
yes.
Of course, to the girls. And I got it at a spa, and it was just such a treat that I enjoy sharing that with my girlfriends.
And, you know, that's the thing about Coppola and about what Coppola does. They do things that are so unique and so sort of powerful that resemble and truly respect the lives of the Coppolas. So that was Sophia's idea. And Corey Beck, who I was telling you about, implemented that a few years ago. And the great thing about working for the company is, you know, I've been able to work with people like Corey. And just, you know, when he sees passion that I have for the industry and for the product that Coppola produces, he's just been so willing to mentor me and show me what he knows about wine and really sort of take me under his wing and let me let me work with the winery. It's been such a huge honor for me to get to be a part of their team.
You are a unique salesperson for a winery in so many ways. So, Hobie, if I'm counting right, you're about 26 years old now, right?
That's what they tell me, yeah.
And you are about to enter this PhD program. You have this chemistry camp going. What's out there in the landscape of your life in, say, the next 5 years?
You know, I'm excited about finishing my PhD, and I just want to teach. I've loved the mentors that I've had, like I've mentioned, Dean Tantillo and Corey Beck, and they've just been so powerful for me. I want to, you know, pass that gift of learning along to everyone who I can, whether it's blind students in a chemistry camp, being a chemistry educator, or being a wine educator. I dream of education and getting people to love life as much as I feel like I do right now. I mean, we are in such a lucky place, both physically where we live in Northern California, and you know, for everything that we have, I think we have to be so grateful. And I just want to help people be excited about what they have and what they have to offer, because everyone has something unique and wonderful to offer to the world.
Mm. Yeah. Listening to you is always inspiring, Hobie. And I'm going to dip to just a slightly deeper level here at a moment and say that I think in our lives, we all have these times when we feel like we're limited.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that if I ask you about the feeling of being limited, I'm going to get a totally different perspective than I might battle in my own life. So tell me how you think about limits, or how you jump over limits.
Yeah.
What does that word mean to you?
You know, limit is an interesting word, and I think it's a word that we often construct not necessarily accurately, because we feel our brain provides us with limitations. No, I can't do that because, you know, I maybe don't understand that or need a little bit of extra help doing that. You know, people feel limited by what their brain tells them they can do. But in my belief, anyone can do anything. Doesn't matter whether you're blind, sighted, anywhere in between. You can be a welder. I've met blind welders before. I've met about the only profession that that I know in the blindness community that isn't happening yet is a blind driver. And the National Federation of the Blind, who I also do a lot of work with, is now coming up with a vehicle that blind people can drive themselves.
Hmm.
So really, the sky's the limit. And I think that expression has a great deal of truth to it. And what I've been able to do as a blind person who just says, whatever, I'm going to tackle the problems that I'm encountered with as they come to me. And I know there's a solution out there, so I'm just going to keep chipping away. What we can do is we can make any little problem, whether it's blindness, whether it's being in a wheelchair, on crutches, you know, whether it's we're having a bad day. These things are mere nuisances in the grand scheme of things. And we need to be happy for what we have and not be held back by quote-unquote limits that I think are sort of constructs, emotional constructs of some things that we view in ourselves. If you take every problem, find a solution to it, and take any challenge that's given to you and accept it with open arms and know that you can learn from it, the sky's the limit. And I say it again, yeah.
Hobie Wedler, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor always to be on Inside and to chat with you, Beth. Thank you.
We'll do it again.
Great.
Okay. That is Hobie Wedler. We have more information about his chemistry camp and his Tasting in the Dark program. It's at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.